Welcome to the Soul Care Matters podcast, bringing gospel-centered clarity and insight to the whole person. Here, you will find conversations about real issues that we face every day and thoughts on how to move toward health in Jesus in the middle of those issues. Hosting today's podcast, Jeff Ballard and Ryan Berg, Soul Care pastors at College Park Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome back to the Soul Care Matters podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Ryan Berg, and back in the saddle is...
Jeff Ballard.
Jeff, welcome back from vacation. How was it?
Thank you very much. It was very, very fun.
Suffering for Jesus somewhere, right?
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
I can't complain too much. I went to the beach like 2 days after you left, so...
Yeah, and I didn't even get to go to the beach,
Well, today we're going to talk about a topic that is really important in counseling. It's really important in relationships in general. We're going to talk a little bit about listening. Listening is a huge aspect of what we do in daily life. As a matter of fact, I read a study recently that said people engage in communication 70 to 80% of their day.
Wow.
So this is a study out of Harvard Business Review, and they said people engage in communication 70 to 80% of the day, and they said on average 55% of that should be devoted to listening. Now, it not always is that the case, but that's what it should be. People can absorb about 450 words per minute, but people usually tend to speak at 125 to 175 words per minute. Mm. So you see there should be enough room there for more listening than there is talking, but that doesn't often happen. When I was in seminary, I remember them saying, always adhere to the 80-20 rule as a counselor. And as a human being in general, 80% listening, 20% talking.
Yep.
So what are your thoughts on listening? Like, how do you see listening play out in your life in general these days?
Yeah, I mean, one thing I would say is that if I'm honest, listening is hard. It's so easy to be distracted. It's easy to be consumed kind of by my own agenda. And so... it takes disciplined effort and I think growth in kind of Christ-like other-centeredness to be a good listener. So at the end of the day, certainly there are skills we can learn, but I think this is more a matter of our character and our growth and maturity to become good listeners. And the other thing I should say, it's so important because think about the last time that you know, as our listeners, had somebody fully devoted to giving their attention to really listening and understanding you. My bet is that that's pretty rare, that maybe even some of you are having a hard time thinking of the last time that was true. And so I just think it's room for us to grow and so important because it's one of the fundamental ways that we can love people well.
You know, it's really interesting that you say that. It leads right into another statistic while I was doing research that said, a study of therapists and medical doctors show a 30% reduction in office visits simply after patients were actively listened to for at least 30 minutes. Mm. A 30% reduction overall just for somebody listening to them for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Now, if that doesn't show the power of listening, then I don't know what else does. What I also thought was interesting is, so we had said that you get 400 and you can... A person can absorb 450 words per minute, but what I thought was the most interesting statistic is most people only remember 17 to 25% of what they hear.
Mm-hmm.
17 to 25% of that. Research tends to show that women listen a little better than men. I was personally offended by that.
Just a little better?
Yeah. It's probably very accurate. So women, you can tell your husbands. Ryan and Jeff said it's true. A study also showed that 10% or less of communication is verbal and 90% tends to be nonverbal. But 17 to 25% of what you hear is actually remembered.
Yeah. Why do you think that is?
I think it leans into what you were saying. I personally look at listening as a relational value. So if I value someone, I'm interested in what they have to say. I'm curious about what they're saying, and I want to hear from them because whatever they're telling me affected their life in some way. I think we live in a pretty selfish world. where people maybe don't value others as much as they should. And so they tend to maybe not listen actively or effectively, and they're too busy like thinking about what's going on in their lives or the next appointment that they need to get to. And I get it. I've been there. I'm certainly not above that. That happens to me all the time. But I think that there's value tied to that. What about you?
Yeah, I think that's really right on. The other thing that comes to mind too is technology. And, you know, the fact that even a couple of minutes ago, your computer dinged.
Yeah, sure did.
I've got my phone in my pocket right now, and, you know, it's likely it's going to buzz at some point during our conversation. And, you know, that temptation to know, oh, who's texting me, who's emailing me, do I need to go check that? I feel that a lot. And just the distraction of the world we live in because of the amount of information that's coming at us all the time.
So let me ask you this question. How do you know when you're being listened to well?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say there's a few things that come to my mind first. One is the person I'm speaking with, there's a certain way that they communicate. I'm kind of locked into what you're saying. So even right now, you listeners can't see, but Ryan is looking me in the eyes. He's nodding his head when I say something. He's communicating to me. I am really paying attention just by his body language, his eye contact, and his posture towards me. He's not looking away, looking off at the clock. So that's one of the ways. Another way that comes to mind is when somebody repeats back, not word for word, but they can sort of summarize what I'm saying in a sentence or so. So that can be a really helpful way to know you're being listened to, or if we're the listener, to communicate to that other person, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. So what I just heard you say was two things, but the first one being a lot of how you know you're being listened to well is nonverbal.
Yep.
So it's body language, it's posture. Going to give listeners a little kind of cheat sheet for what that looks like. If you think of the word solar spelled incorrectly, so instead of an A, you have an E. I remember learning this years and years ago and wondering they couldn't have come up with something that worked with how the word is actually spelled. But you think of solar, this talks about what body language should look like for listening. So S stands for squared, like you're squared to the person. You're not to the side of the person or behind them or something, like you're squared up to the person that you're trying to listen to. O is for an open posture. You don't necessarily have your arms crossed. You don't necessarily have your legs crossed or, you know, fidgeting or something. You're open to the person. L is for lean in. Now, this can look really weird. Don't overdo it on the lean. But if you lean just slightly towards them, it indicates like I'm really genuinely curious and interested in what you have to say. Mm-hmm. The E, not the A, but the E in solar stands for eye contact. Actually look somebody in the eye. I remember being in a seminar once where somebody said at least 50% of the people that you come into contact with today will look at your mouth while you're talking and not your eyes. Well, then I was hyper aware of it and I couldn't not look at people's mouths and I assumed they were doing mine. And then I heard on the radio just a few days ago, since the pandemic hit and everybody's been wearing masks, now people are starting to return to listening by engaging in eye contact with people. So E is eye contact. And then R is just relax. The more tense you are as the listener, the more tense the speaker tends to be. So if you think of solar, S-O-L-E-R, you're squared to the person, open posture, lean in, make eye contact, and relax. So that's the body language piece that you were talking about.
Yep. And you just demonstrated really well one of the points I made. You kind of summarized one of the points that I made. I know you were listening to me because you said, okay, this is what I heard, that body language, nonverbal, is one of the ways. And I'm like, yeah, he heard me.
That's called mirroring or parroting is the way that I've always heard it. Okay, so here's another question for you. How do you know when someone is not listening well?
What'd you say? Yeah. Sorry.
That's a good illustration right there.
So some of that would just be the opposite of what we just shared. I mean, if somebody is not making eye contact with me, they're looking off to the side, looking over my head, certainly looking at the watch or their phone. is a big thing. That communicates, even if they are listening to me, it communicates, I'm not listening to you. And so that usually doesn't help a conversation. I think another thing, and maybe the biggest thing for me, is when I really don't get a response from the person, or at least a response that connects with what I just said. So, man, I feel loved and cared for and listened to when I share something and the other person responds with something that connects with what I just said. If they start talking about something totally different, I'm not sure that they really heard me.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think one of the main ways that tends to happen is something that we call funneling. A person will hear a piece of what you say, and then their mind is already off to the races about how whatever you just said connects to them and their life. And then they're basically waiting for you to shut your mouth so that they can jump in with their story.
Yeah.
And so the minute, like the millisecond that you stop talking, they're like, yeah, what you said reminded me of this thing that happened in my life. Sometimes that's appropriate. Yeah. I don't want to paint that with a broad brush that there's never a place and time for that. But funneling what another person said back towards yourself just indicates, quite honestly, low value of the person who was speaking, and that they weren't really listening to what you had to say.
So speaking of funnels, there was this one time my wife and I were driving on I-65, and there was this funnel cloud we could see. No, just kidding. Yeah. That's an example of it, right? Like, that was not the main point of what you're saying. Yeah. I just took one word that you used and went off in a totally different direction. There you go. Example of funneling, everybody.
That's our goal, is to give you examples of everything not to do. Another way that I kind of know that people aren't listening well is if there's what's called verbal clutter. So a lot of verbal clutter of, which you hear a lot on a podcast because you can't see people who are having a conversation. But verbal clutter can often be, let me kind of give the illusion that I'm listening to this person by saying, yeah, or, oh, yeah, or sure, or whatever, you know, multiple times. And then at the end, you can tell that a person hasn't heard anything that you've said. And it can be really kind of discouraging and disheartening to ever really want to open up to that person and share anything again.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, that there really is, in listening well, the opportunity to build trust with somebody that opens a relationship up to deeper connection. But not listening destroys trust.
Absolutely.
And leads the other person to not want to share. I mean, why would I make the effort to share something significant if I don't have confidence that this other person's really going to listen to me?
Yeah, you know, I just thought of this. This happens in all forms of relationships, right? So I have a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old. And while we were on vacation, my 7-year-old and 4-year-old were like fighting with each other. I'm sure none of you can imagine that. And I went to my 7-year-old, and that's my daughter, Sydney. And I said, Sydney, you just need to stop what you're doing that's annoying your brother. And she said, but wait, he was. And my instant response was, I don't want to hear it. And I remember going back to her later and being like, Daddy shouldn't have done that. I didn't even give you an opportunity. I didn't listen to what you had to say, which communicated, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't value what you had to say, because what was the most important thing to me in that moment is that the noise stopped. The noise of them fighting. I needed it to go away. And so I just shut it down. And in essence, well, probably in a bit of a microcosm way, harmed my relationship with my daughter a little bit. Like, of course, you know, she would sit here today and be like, no, Daddy, I love you. You're the greatest. But that doesn't show her, that doesn't teach her about listening, for one thing. And it also just doesn't show value.
Yeah.
And you can see this in all kinds of different levels of relationship. Probably happens in the workplace a lot, I would assume. And this podcast, which is about counseling, like at least somewhat about counseling, whether you're the counselor or the counselee, listening is an enormous part of this. So imagine being a person who has something that they really need to work through with a counselor, and you go into the counselor's office, you sit down, you spill your guts, arguably for the first time that you've ever done this to somebody else, and the counselor's response is to funnel it back to themselves and say, oh, what you just said reminded me of this. Mm-hmm. Or they're checking their watch the whole time, or looking at their phone. Oh, heaven forbid if a counselor looks at their phone. I mean, it's really important, like you said, in building value. Jeff, can you think of examples maybe from scripture where listening was portrayed really well?
Yeah, that's a great question. The first thing that comes to mind isn't an example, like a narrative illustration, but because we're going through the book of James, mm-hmm. you know, this verse has been on my mind a lot, that James says in chapter one, be quick to hear, slow to mm-hmm. speak. And I think that's so important for us as counselors or small group leaders or disciples, whatever role we're in, because when we are quick to speak and slow to hear, our ministry is going to be far less effective. That's one of the things I see in especially beginning counselors is that we're often so quick to speak and we don't take the time to listen. So that's one thing that's important. Jesus was a master listener. He asked good questions all the time and listened. He just didn't go about only teaching, but he spent time with people and he really listened to understand. I think about John chapter 4, Jesus with the Samaritan woman. Yeah, I mean, on one level, he had an agenda. He wanted to draw her to himself, mm-hmm. but he took the time to engage her in conversation and to really listen to her. And in listening to her, he really heard the thirst mm-hmm. of her heart. Yeah. That enabled him to point her to the living water.
Absolutely. That's the illustration that comes to my mind too. He listened really well, responded to what she shared.
Yeah.
He didn't just say, so listening with an agenda is not always a bad thing, right?
Yeah.
Listening with an agenda can be helpful in a lot of ways. But also listening with an agenda, a loose agenda, let's say that. Listening with a loose agenda is maybe really helpful because you respond to what the person says based on the way they direct the conversation, mm-hmm. like where they tend to go with it. That again, communicates value and is a developable skill.
Yeah.
Like you can learn to be better at that, but it starts, like you said, with listening. Let's talk a little bit about listening skills. So listening skills being like the ways in which a person listens. So we've got a couple of illustrations of what those look like. One of them is listening with your mind. So I say listening with your mind. Give the person that you're talking to your full attention. So that's what we've been talking about. Don't be distracted by your phone or the clock or anything mm-hmm. like that. And then try to enter that person's frame of reference or their world. I think this is really important because this gets you out of thinking about you and your role and into their world. Paul Tripp calls these entry gates mm-hmm. in which you can enter into a person's world. And this is especially important when you're talking with somebody who's hurting in some way, who's suffering, or who's confessing, like, which is still hurting, right? But like who's confessing sin. I remember several months ago, I had someone come to me in my office and shut the door and they say, I need to talk to you about something. And you always kind of know what those meetings are like, right? And they say, I want to share something with you that I've not really told anybody before. And I had this moment of, okay, like get out of my world, whatever I had going on, because this was not a scheduled meeting and I have to figure out how to get into this person's world. So listening with your mind is literally making space for what that person is going to put into it. And then focus on what's behind their words. When I was kind of getting into counseling, I had a wonderfully godly woman named Lynn who kind of trained me as a counselor. And she said, this was the first day that I ever worked at the church as a counselor. She looked at me and she said, the question that you always need to be asking is, what do I not know about what I just heard?
Mm-hmm.
I've never forgotten that. And any of my counselors listening are going to be like, oh, so that's where I got it, right? Nothing's original with me. Nothing new under the sun, right? Yeah. But what do I not know about what I just heard? So being curious and finding out what's behind this person's words.
Yeah. That's really wise. Even too, as part of that, I think making sure what we understand, what they mean by the words that they use, instead of assuming what they mean. So an example of that is somebody shares, and I had a fight with my spouse last night. What do they mean by the word fight?
Right.
because that I think that'd be an example. What do I not know about what this person just shared? Well, I might have what I think a fight with a spouse looks like in my mind, but that might not be exactly what the other person means by a fight with a spouse. Yeah. So follow-up questions. And this is something I think you can develop the habit of doing. That being natural, you ask follow-up questions to draw out more information, ultimately so that we understand this person and can put ourselves in their shoes.
Yeah, that's a great point, too. I don't know how many times I've been sitting in the counseling office with a couple, and one of them will say a word or a term, and I'm like, oh, hold on, time out. And I'm like, let's define that. And I'll just look at the husband, for instance. So this isn't always the case, but they tend to be the words respect and love, right? That comes up all the time in marriage counseling. And so he'll say, I don't feel respected. And I'm like, hold on. And I'll ask the wife, I was like, would you be willing to sit and listen really attentively for the next 3 minutes? And then I turn to the husband and I say, you just used the word respect, said that you don't feel respect. I was like, can you paint me a picture of what that looks like? Mm. And he'll be like, all right. And he'll give an example or he'll describe it. And I can't tell you how many times I have to pick the wife's jaw up off the floor because she thought she was giving respect to her husband. But this description that he just described, she never even knew existed. Mm-hmm. And then I'll do the same thing in reverse. I'll look at him. Would you be willing to listen really attentively and not say anything for the next 3 minutes? And I'll say, so you said you don't feel like he shows you love. Can you define that for me? Paint me a picture. And then she'll do it. And then I have to pick his jaw up off the floor, right? Because they're not listening. They're not even speaking the same language sometimes. And they've thought they were for a long, long time, but they've not taken the time to define terms.
Yeah.
So, you know, listening with your mind involves kind of getting behind the words as to what does that really mean?
Yeah.
And sometimes how does that make you feel? Or what causes you to believe that? Sometimes those questions are only pulled out if you're listening to what's behind the words.
Yeah. And I think that's what we mean when we talk about active listening. Yeah. I mean, there's a way that we can listen. The words can go in our ears, but we really don't know what those words mean. Mm-hmm. You ever had that experience of reading a paragraph in a book? You know, your eyes go over the words. You've read it. But can you actually explain what you just read, what that means? And oftentimes, you know, it's like, no. You got to dig in and find out, what does that word mean? What does that word mean? How are those fitting together? And that's what active listening is. And it's hard work.
So you just described every time I read something by John Frame. I read that and I'm like, oh, that was nice. No idea what it meant, but hey, great.
Feel sorry for his wife.
Yeah, I know.
Wonder if she has that experience too.
What does listening look like for her? I mean, it's got to be, yeah. So Jeff, tell us a little bit about listening with your body.
Yeah, listening with your body would be some of the things we've already touched on. So eye contact would be an example, you know, the concept of solar that Ryan walked through. And, you know, as you pointed out, Ryan, at the beginning with some of those stats, some studies say that 90% of our communication actually happens nonverbally. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that is our body. Our faces are a huge part of that. this is something I've had to learn over the years. I, for whatever reason, I don't know why, I can tend to scowl when I'm listening to somebody. I think it's because it's the way I communicate. I'm really focused and I'm, you know, zoned in on you. But for my wife, she'll point it out sometimes. And to her, it communicates, I'm upset. Mm. And so I could be communicating with my words, I love you, and you know, all these flowery kinds of messages. But if I've got a scowl on my face, that's actually what's going to be mostly communicated. So if there's any area where we could grow better in listening and also communicating ourselves, is probably just being more aware of our body language.
So can I ask you a quick question?
Sure.
So what do you do to counteract that, the scowling?
Yeah. So I've given Kristen the full permission to point it out, because oftentimes I'm not aware of it. Mm-hmm. And so that's helped me just to be more aware of it. Boy, I haven't been able to break through just doing it kind of somewhat automatically. Maybe I need to wear sunglasses more, because sometimes I think it's just because like the sun and it's squinting, but it looks like a scow. I don't know. Don't have a good answer for that one.
Yeah, I'll be interested to know because I think I do that a little bit too. So when you figure it out, you let me know. So what other ways can we listen with the body?
I would say, I think, and again, another one of the things you mentioned before is like what we do with our arms. So yeah, crossed arms communicate either I'm closed off, I'm upset, I want this conversation to be over. Are you finished yet? Kind of thing like that. I think the leaning in piece is important too. Leaning back could communicate relaxation, sure, which is another part of it too. But boy, I just think leaning in communicates really powerfully, I am interested in what you're saying. So those are some important points I think we need to consider and oftentimes grow in.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. The crossed arms position, I'll just say really quick, might also indicate disapproval.
Yeah.
Sometimes with what the person's saying, like I don't agree with what you're saying, or I'm angry about what you're saying or something, which is often not the case at all, but you could unknowingly, be communicating
that. Yeah. Well, that's another good point about nonverbal communication is it's less precise than words. And so as we listen by watching people's body postures, another habit I think we can do is just checking our assumptions and maybe even just asking. So like with my wife, it's like, hey, you're scowling right now. Yeah. Are you upset about something? Like she's done a good job of not assuming that because there's the scowl, he's mad or upset. Yeah. So that's something we can do to listen better is just be aware of assumptions we might be jumping to based on a person's body language. So Ryan, another way that we can listen is listening with our words. So talk a little bit about that for our listeners.
Yeah, listening with your words, I think, is one of the most tangible ways that a person who's speaking to you can understand that you're listening to them. So Jeff kind of mentioned this earlier, but kind of mirroring or paraphrasing back to the person what you just heard them say. I was never great at doing this subtly, so I don't really try anymore. So I actually just say to people, okay, so what I just heard you say was this. Mm-hmm. I've yet to have anybody be upset by me saying that, so I'm just going to keep doing it until someone tells me they are. So just literally listening well and saying, okay, so this is what I just heard you say. So because that indicates value again, right? Because I want to make sure that I'm getting what you're trying to communicate to me. So let me tell you what I just heard, and you feel free to clarify anything that maybe I misunderstood. It puts people at ease, and it adds value. You're building relational capital with that person by being able to do that. And especially if you ask clarifying questions. I think for me personally, that's one of the best ways that I know somebody's, listening well. Okay, mm-hmm. So you said this. I didn't hear you mention this other thing over here. Could you clarify for me what you meant by that?
Yeah.
I mean, that just to me communicates, several other people, studies show this too, that communicates that they're following you, they're tracking with you, they're not necessarily distracted or thinking of anything else. One thing that sometimes can seem like you're actually helping the person speaking is filling in missing words for them. So it seems like you're helping them if they're stuck in a certain spot, if you say something along the lines of, oh, I think you mean this. That actually communicates that you're not listening to absorb what they're saying, that you're not listening to enter into their world through that entry gate into their frame of reference. It tends to communicate, I'm smarter than you because I can think of the word and you can't.
Yeah.
And so that can actually be damaging. But I think our gut reaction is, oh, I'm helping them out right now. Actually, probably not.
Yeah. Yeah. And if somebody's having a hard time finding a word and there's a silence, I think oftentimes we can feel uncomfortable with silence. And so we can rush to fill that in. And maybe one of the things that's a good skill for listening is just being okay with the silence and giving time for that person to find the right word or attempt to communicate what they're trying to communicate.
That's so true, especially in a counseling setting. A lot of times silence is a tool the Lord uses to bring a person to a moment of realization.
Yeah.
So I don't mind silence. It doesn't bother me. I know plenty of people that really struggle. I do group counseling a lot, and you can tell really quickly the people who are uncomfortable with silence and feel compelled to fill it. And so really early on, week one or two of a counseling group, we actually just talk about it and say, hey, sometimes silence feels really awkward, but that's because we're not the Lord. We're not the Holy Spirit doing his job. So I want to encourage everyone to just be okay with silence, because a lot of times that's what the Lord uses. Yeah. One final way to talk about listening with your words is don't jump to problem solving. Don't jump to giving the solution to whatever the person talked about. Now, you talked about you and your wife, and sometimes you scowl. Well, for me, I'm the problem solver, apparently, right? So my wife, Carol, is probably the most gracious person I know, but she is very good now at telling me. I don't think it started this way in our marriage, but she's very good now at telling me, I don't need you to fix this. Just stop talking and listen to what I have to say. And that's great for me. I'm dumb, and that's really helpful. So I really need that. But I've taken that into a lot of other relationships in my life and say, don't be so quick to jump in with advice, even if you're right and you know the thing that would solve their problem. How many problems in your life have been solved because somebody else told you immediately upon your stopping talking, hey, here's what you need to do?
Yeah, probably none.
Yeah.
Very few, if any. I can't remember any off the top of my head.
Yeah, exactly. And so, like, them coming to that conclusion on their own, and you may help them navigate that or guide that a little bit, mm-hmm. but them coming to that realization on their own, that discovery, that's what we call it in counseling a lot of times, that moment of discovery of, oh, this is what God's trying to do, or yeah. this is what God means by that, or this is what I'm supposed to be doing. That's 10 times more effective and powerful than you saying, well, what you need to do is this.
Yeah.
There's time for that, but it's actually pretty rare mm-hmm. when you would do that. So, Jeff, I think we have time for one more. Can we talk a little bit about listening with the Holy Spirit?
We can.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
I can talk a little bit about that. I would love to hear your thoughts on that, too.
Okay.
You know, I think this is one of the distinctives of biblical counseling, of a Christ-centered approach to counseling, is that we believe that as counselors who trust Jesus and follow him, we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And if we're counseling somebody who trusts Jesus and follows him, same thing with them. And actually, when we meet, God is in the room with us. And if that's true, I think we ought to expect, based on what Scripture says, that the Spirit will actually speak to us. I'm not talking about audibly, but that the Spirit will speak to us through God's Word. And sometimes, too, I believe more immediately that we'll get some sense of intuition yeah. or just direction that we feel like the Lord is leading us in. And so I think we want to be sensitive to that mm-hmm. and be willing to go there if we feel the Spirit nudging us in a certain direction.
Yeah. I think that's super helpful. Like, I'm just reminded of this diagram that I've seen many times. I'm sure you've seen it too, called the counseling trilogue, right?
Yeah.
And it's this triangle that has you on one side at the bottom, the counselee or whoever you're talking to. This is not exclusive to counseling.
Yeah.
On the other side, and then the Holy Spirit on the top, and there's communication happening in every direction there, all the way around that triangle or that pyramid, whatever you want to call it. And I'll also be the first to say, I think this is challenging at times to know, like, what is the Holy Spirit up to in this person's life? Like, is my saying something going to help it or harm it? Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's tough. I think you can just own that and say that that's a really hard thing to do. Jeff, I like what you said, that the like Scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit will use his word. So a lot of times if you feel led to say something, especially when somebody is sharing a hard thing in their life, if you feel led to share something, there's safety in if what you want to share is attached to the word. Like, if I'm going to, like, don't just throw Bible verses at people. That's not helpful. If one more person tries to Romans 8:28 me, I'm going to be upset. But, like, I think there's, it can be, I remember one time sitting in, again, in a counseling group. And there was a person that was sharing just a number of really hard things. I think he lost his job. His wife was diagnosed with, like, stage 1 cancer. She ended up being fine, which, praise the Lord. having problems with his kids. And I think that it was something else that was going on. Oh, yeah, his dog died. Mm. And there was just all of these things. And he ended with the dog dying. And he was just in tears. And I remember thinking, I'm not sure what I could say that would help this person. And thankfully, my co-leader's name was Scott, says, I don't know what to say. But I know in Psalm 86, there's a plea in there for God to give joy to his servant in the midst of a really hard time. Mm-hmm. So we all turned to Psalm 86 and we just spent time praying for that person that God would just bring some joy into his life in some way, because he's your servant, God, because he's your kid. And I remember when that group was over being like, that's listening with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And there was just safety in that moment of saying, I don't know what to do here, but scripture speaks to like really hard things. Mm-hmm. And God providing joy in the middle of those. And I feel like that's a little bit of what we're talking about, listening with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. And I think that comes from, you know, we, as we're ministering to people, being really familiar with scripture, mm-hmm. and having had many experiences ourselves of the scriptures being relevant to our lives. Mm-hmm. And not that we want to map on to others our experience. It's like, oh, I remember, you know, I felt exactly that same way, and here's the scripture. Right. But sometimes it is. We're ministering to other people the same scriptures that have ministered to us in particular situations. And you think how, you know, the Bible is a big book, and it's just full of, as Ed Welch called them, just it's a treasure chest of relevant and powerful truth that the Spirit speaks to us and we can speak to others.
And I think it's super helpful. Like, again, there is a time and place. So much of, especially caring for one another, is pacing, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So like you just said, yeah, God has used a number of passages of scripture in my life to meet me in the middle of just really dark, hard things. But like, when I'm talking with somebody else, a lot of times I'll share that passage of scripture and I don't need to share my story that goes along with it. Sometimes that is helpful. Like, identifying with another person who's been through suffering and seeing how God kind of pulled them out of that, super encouraging, super helpful. But sometimes you just share God's word with a person and let the Holy Spirit do his job. Because, I mean, I know this is hard to believe, but he's better at it than we are.
Amen.
So let him do his job. And I think that that can be just super, like, really meaningful to a person in the moment and in their greater walk with Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, Jeff, we talked a lot about listening today, and our listeners are probably tired of listening to us. So I'm going to wrap this up, but I want to introduce you guys really, really quickly to a segment that we're going to do from time to time on the show, and we're just going to call it Ask a Pastor. I didn't tell Jeff about this yet, so I'm watching his reaction and seeing if he's okay with this. I had a couple of you listeners say you're enjoying the podcast. You're really gaining a lot from it, but you had some specific questions that you'd like to be heard. So I would love to encourage you to email us at soulcarematterspod@gmail.com. Soulcarematterspod@gmail.com. That's correct. And submit something for Ask a Pastor. And it'll be like a 3 or 4 minute segment where Jeff or I will answer whatever the question is to the best of our ability. So I'm going to forewarn everybody that sometimes the answer might be, I don't know.
Yes.
We all have to be okay with that.
There's a podcast I listen to. They have Q&A episodes, but they call them Q&R, question and response, because they don't promise they'll have the answer.
Yeah, exactly.
But they'll have a response, and it could be, I don't know.
Yeah, I one time sat in an interview, sort of like a job interview, and they asked me a series of really hard questions, and at the end they didn't say anything. And I was like, did I give you the answer? And they looked at me and they said, that was an answer. And I remember thinking, that doesn't sound very good. But here we are. So Ask a Pastor segment. We probably won't do it every episode, but we'll do it from time to time. So please, please send us some of those questions at soulcarematterspod@gmail.com. Keep listening. Keep subscribing. Keep sharing. Keep liking. Keep giving us reviews. That's how it grows. We actually hit 500 today, Jeff.
Awesome.
We hit 500. The way that it's measured is called active downloads. I don't really know what that means, but hey, 500 looks good, right?
Sounds good.
So especially review it and share it with your friends, and we can keep getting the word out about the Soul Care Matters podcast. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you on the next episode.
You've been listening to the Soul Care Matters podcast, a ministry of College Park Church. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. And feel free to reach out to us with any questions, comments, or show topic ideas at soulcarematterspod@gmail.com.